Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio is proud to present Unlawful Captives with your hosts, Brothers Forrest Muhammad and Jason X.
The new man's a scam without the reason to pursue him, depending on a system that only wants to screw him. The weight will generate the rage you often bury. Violence overstanding the scene from Tom and Jerry. Time to realize there be some things that you regret. You'll be the quicker picker up a bounty hunter Boba Fett.
Lawful captives caught in the system. The devil will never remain God forgiven. Lawful captives caught in the system. The devil will never remain God forgiven.
Call it a name brand label that you gave me. Shot in the dark, under the table you enslaved me. The brothers in the belly of the beast don't feast. We eating the wisdom of wise men from the eastern parkway to 545 Gates Ave. We up from the grave, no toe tag, no body bag. You're sick, you neglected your vitamins and minerals. Rehabilitation, a word with six syllables.
Lawful captives caught in the system. The devil will never remain God forgive me. Lawful captives caught in the system. The devil will never remain God forgive them. Lawful captives caught in the system. The devil will never remain God forgive them. Lawful captives caught in the system. The devil will never remain God forgive them.
Greetings, everyone. Beginning all things in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We bear witness that there is no God but Allah who appeared to us in the person of Master Muhammad. Welcome to Unlawful Captives with your host, Brother Forrest Muhammad, myself, and my co-host, Brother Jason Muhammad, who will be on the line, God willing, momentarily. So tonight, we're opening up the show with Trayvon Martin, the verdict that was what we could believe to be an unjust verdict with George Zimmerman. You have to bear with me for a minute, family. We're just dealing with some technical difficulties, so we're just trying to work it out. There are a lot of people who are bringing some drama to the table. I was reading some statistics. Since Trayvon Martin has died, which was 513 days ago, over 11,106 blacks have been murdered by other blacks, which is, of course, an astounding number and a shameful number. However, as I was looking up statistics all this week and looking at everything, I couldn't find anything that showed the white statistics on murder until I got to the FBI, and they only went up to 2010. And the numbers were also revealing to some facts that, in reality, as our brother Dick Gregory says, black people do kill black people because that's who you live next door to. And in reality, white people kill white people. According to the FBI, over 3,337 white people were killed in 2010. And the people who committed crime out of the murders, the offenders, 2,787 were the culprits. 441 were killed by black people, and the rest were unknown. Now, if you look at the same statistics on the black side, it was saying 2,777 black people were killed in 2010, and out of that, 2,300 of them were killed by other black people. So if you understand what I'm getting at, is that the ratios between white-on-white crime and black-on-black crime are pretty much the same. White people are killing white people, black people are killing black people, Latino people are killing Latino people. You kill who you live next door to or who you're close to. As I remember Brother Dick Gregory saying one time, you're not going to get in a car and go cross town or into a white neighborhood to kill somebody you don't have a problem with. You usually, these murders are murders of some kind of convenience because they're robbing somebody who's near them, or they get into confrontation. And usually you get in confrontation with people who you see day to day. but however, the white media distorts it. They make it seem like black people, Latino people, all we do is kill each other. The only time they put their murders in the news is when they're very horrific, like Sandy Hook, Columbine, the incident where the guy walked into the Sheik Temple in the Midwest and killed the people, and the guy who walked into the movie theater and killed people. That's the only time they put it out. But every day they're killing each other. They're shooting each other. They're stabbing each other. I like the joke that Paul Mooney had. Paul Mooney. He said that Home Depot can't keep duct tape because that was the chosen preferred weapon of white males against their women. They're known for killing their wives. They don't divorce their wives. They kill them. So if we were really looking at the news and trying to pay attention to what was going on and look at the statistics, it gets overwhelming because, see, some people are trying to use the fact that we are murdering each other to justify George Zimmerman's actions towards Trayvon Martin and that he was acting in self-defense. And this image is put into the public to try to justify that we are deviants and we are savages. But we are far from that. If you look at the statistics, again, according to the FBI, 97% of the white people who were killed in 2010 were killed by other white people. And the same ratio pretty much exists in the black community. We kill each other. However, our crimes are the ones that are the lead stories on the 6 o'clock news, the lead stories in the daily news in your area. All the crime talk is black on black crime. But white on white crime is just as rampant as black on black crime. And you have to use your common sense. When you think about how many people actually own weapons in the United States, there are more white people own weapons than there are black people. That's a fact. And we know the history of the United States is bloodshed. From the moment they hit the shores of New York and Virginia and all up and down the East Coast, they murdered, robbed, and pillaged and raped all the Native Americans. This is their M.O. The greatest movie genre, the best, one of the most grossly movie genres in American film is the Western movie, which is all about shooting and killing. That's all it is, robbing cattle, stealing land, and killing. This is what they do. But then they try to perpetrate a fraud on television by saying that we're the only people, black people, the only people that kill each other. And so they want to know why we are outraged today. And we asked everybody to call in. I see the lines lighting up, and I see people have got they're in the queue to they got their questions. I want you to bear with me for a second because I just want to give you some statistics, some more information that you can. We're going to base our questions on tonight and our responses. I also want to lay down some ground rules, too. We have to be careful what we say all the time. Remember, everything we do is being recorded. Thanks to Snowden, which proved out what the messenger said. The messenger said back in the 60s, 70s, that just pay close attention to the white man. He will begin to tell you all the dirt he does. And then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his national representative, who holds up the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam beautifully and powerfully as he is, has said several times, in fact, I think it was 2 Saviors Day ago that he said that they listen to everything we do. They use the IRS, they use the FBI, they use everybody to come against us. And so now we just saw in recent months that the IRS was brought on the carpet for going up against the Tea Party and unauthorized audit and freezing of people's accounts because they belong to a certain party that was against the establishment and power now. This is their game. We have to be wise on how we play this game and what we say tonight. We want everybody to get what's on their chest off. We want you to dial in to 323-927-2913, 323-927-2913. Let's go through just a few people who have been murdered this year. Kamani Gray, well, not just this year, just over the years. Kamani Gray, 16 years old, murdered in Brooklyn, shot in the back by police. Kendrick McDay, 19 years old, college student, was shot and killed March 2012, when officers responded to a report of an armed robbery of a man in Pasadena, California. They later found out that McDay wasn't the person they were looking for. All he had was a cell phone on him, and they killed this 19-year-old child. Timothy Russell. Russell and his passenger, Melissa Williams, were killed December 2012 by Cleveland police officers who were chasing them because they thought they had a gun. When they caught up to him, they shot 137 bullets into the car, killing both Timothy Russell and Melissa Williams. These stories we don't hear about. Irvin Jefferson, 18 years old, shot and killed by two security officers who were also black outside his Atlanta home while he was trying to defend and protect his sister from a crowd that was threatening him. And, you know, Amadou Diallo, 1999. Everybody knows that story, 41 shots in the Bronx, 23 years old. And, of course, the city of New York paid off a lot of money to his family because they didn't want it known that the reason why the cops killed him was they were trying to force him to sell drugs for them because he was a street vendor. So they wanted him to sell drugs like they did our brother Larry Davis and lobby police for him. Patrick Desmond, 26-year-old, was approached by undercover cops to try to buy drugs. He told them to get mind their business. He don't know nothing about drugs. He's a hardworking guy, father of two daughters. They killed him. And, of course, that guy swept under the rug. That was the same thing in New York City, 2000. Usman Zongo, 2003, was killed in New York City during a raid on a counterfeit CD ring, which Zongo had no involvement. He was 43 years old at the time. They just murdered him because he was coming by. And the city of New York settled that lawsuit for $3 million, swept that under the rug. Timothy Stansbury Jr., unarmed, no criminal record, 19-year-old, was killed 2004 in Brooklyn in a stairwell. Police, again, what's their cause? We thought he had a weapon. Sean Bell, our brother, his mother and father, who are very close to the Black Hole Radio family and the Black Hole Entertainment family, 23 years old, killed on the heat of his wedding. A lot of people don't know that Sean Bell, his mother and father, shared with us that he was in the he had got offered a tryout. He was a baseball player for a pro baseball team. I think it was the San Diego Padres, or it was a team in California. He was supposed to be. His father had just received the news that day and shared it with him. He was on his way to get married the next day, and then hopefully playing in the major league. Shot him down 23 years old. 50 bullets into the car, and really it was trying to kill everybody in the car because his two friends, by the grace of God, survived. And if it wasn't for them living, they would have changed the story because everybody would have been dead. But because there was two living eyewitnesses to what happened, they couldn't tell that lie that they normally would tell. Orlando Barlow, he was on his knees in Las Vegas. He was surrendering to police, had his hands on his head. The police officer was 50 feet away. Orlando Barlow was 28 years old, and the police officer claimed that he was reaching for a gun. Now, how do you reach for a gun with your hands folded on your head? And, of course, forensic evidence bears out where his hands were, where his arms were at the time he was shot, because, you know, bullets can't enter your body a certain way if your arms are down by your side or by your head. Again, they claim he had a gun, and they killed him. Aaron Campbell, 2005, was shot in the back by Portland police, who said they thought he was thought that the unarmed man was reaching towards his waistband for a weapon. Now, he was 25 years old. He was walking backwards towards the police, again, his hands locked behind his head. Moments before the fatal shot, the officer, Fresh Hour, shot him. Of course, L.A. gave his family $1.2 million. Victor Stein, 17 years old, riding his bike, refused to stop when chased by a police officer in a cruiser in Pensacola, Florida. In response, the officer aimed his taser out of the driver's window and fired and ran over the unarmed teen. I mean, come on, he's a teenager, 17 years old, riding his bike, probably trying to get home, scared to death, the cops, and the cop takes a taser out and just shoots him and then runs him over. He would never do that to a white child. Stephen Eugene Washington was shot by gang enforcement officers in L.A. Crash. They claimed they thought he was going for a gun. Now, the sad and the really horrendous thing about Stephen Eugene Washington, he was autistic. And if anybody knows anything about L.A. and brothers and sisters who from L.A. who are listening, please, when we open up the lines in a few moments, please chime in. But Crash prides itself on intelligence. They know everybody who's in every gang and what they do. And this young man is autistic. He's in his neighborhood going back and forth. And you know, if you have any autistic people in your family, you know they're very quiet and they're very subdued. They have one thing or two things they do very well. But other than that, they don't talk to strangers. They just go about their business. And they killed this young man because they had nothing else better to do that day. Again, thought he was reaching for a gun. He was just trying to get his page. Alonzo Ashley, 29 years old. He was in Denver, Colorado. It was a very hot day, 2011. When I read the report, that he was just suffering from dehydration. He was splashing water on his face, and then he began to act erratic. And what happened was he was drinking water, splashed water on his head. He was acting right. He began to shout out some things, and then make sure he picked up a garbage can and threw it. Police officer came by, I guess tried to deal with him, said he was unusually strong, so he tasered him to death. Again, you know, there's a policy for dealing with mentally disturbed people, and the last thing you want to do is tase them or anything because you don't know what kind of medication they take. Usually they bring in an intervention team and, you know, and they'll talk to this person down. But no, this white officer saw a black man and just automatically assumed he was a criminal and just shot him, tasered him to death. Wendell Allen was shot, 20 years old, March 7, 2012, New Orleans. He had a warrant. It was serving a warrant. He had 4.5 ounces of marijuana in his pocket. He was surrendering to police again, and the cop pulled the trigger. He said by accident. Well, that's not sufficient. Ronald Madison James Brissetti, I hope I'm saying his name, Brissetti, from New Orleans. You might remember him, these two brothers, 2005. Ronald Madison was severely mentally retarded. James Brissette was 17 years old. They also shot Ronald's brother, Lance, but he lived. And this was Katrina. They were trying to find refuge going into a town where there was no flooding over the Danziger Bridge, and the white police and the white citizens of that town who set up a barricade on the bridge shot these men to death without any hesitation. They were unarmed, and all they were trying to do was find some place to get dry, get some food, get some help for their family. And they shot these people to death. Thank God that Lance lived, and he was able to tell the truth, and that, you know, we still haven't got satisfaction on that case. Travis McGill, 2005. Y'all might know him. He was killed in Sanford, Florida, by two 16 years old, killed by two security guards who said he tried to run him over with his car. However, the forensic evidence bared out that they shot him in the back. That means the car went past them, and they shot him in the back through the back window of this car and killed this young man. Romali Graham, Little Miss, his mom is a great contributor to the network, to the Black Hole Radio Network. She's been on several of our shows. She's seeking justice for her son right now. His case has not come to court yet because the first indictment was thrown out by the judge because there was some kind of technicality, and now they're trying to get the VA, Robert Johnson in Bronx, to re-indict this white officer. 2012, Richard Hayes was in pursuit of a criminal they thought they saw with a gun. Now, the whole thing, if you're in pursuit of somebody, that means you're behind them. Romali Graham was coming from the opposite direction, which the officer was running. In other words, the officer is running towards the direction that Romali Graham is walking towards. They're walking towards each other. In fact, they can't even see each other. Monty Graham obviously didn't see him because I saw the videotape. Most of the people seen the videotape. Monty Graham walks into his house as if nothing's happening, calm and cool as a cucumber, takes out his keys, takes his time. You know, a person with the police on hot on his trail and knowing that he's dirty is going to be moving a little fast. He wasn't even thinking about moving. He was just going into his house, mind his business. About maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds later, here comes the NYPD. Now, first of all, and hot pursuit allows the police to go into your house without a warrant. But hot pursuit means seconds behind, not a half a minute, not 45 seconds. It's like 10 seconds max. Now, what happens? The police are supposed to, all the supervisors are supposed to say, stop, freeze, surround the house, let's get a warrant. That would give everybody a chance to calm down. But no, they barge into this house, which is a three-family house. They put guns in the face of the family on the first floor, which man was home with his young children, I think 9 and 7 years old. Boom. They go in. They rush them out of the house. It's wintertime now. The children are barely dressed. They go into the next apartment, harass those people. Then they go into Ramadi Graham's apartment where his grandmother was there at home. He's in the bathroom. Richard Hayes runs to the bathroom. Boom. Kills him. They detain his grandmother, take her to the precinct, scare her half to death. Now, her grandson just got shot in her house, in their apartment. They take her down to the police, and as Little Miss so held her for hours. It was just, it's crazy. Oxer Grant, California, Oakland, transit police officer. There was an incident on the train, it was New Year's Eve. Oxer Grant was on his knees with his hands on his head. And the police officer, while he was laying face down, while the other officer was handcuffing him, shot him to death. And he got charged with involuntary manslaughter. He was sentenced to only 2 years, and he got 11 months. He only served 11 months. Chad, well, y'all might know him as Charles Campbell. We call him Chaz. I know Chaz. I knew Chaz. I knew his brother. His brother's our financial advisor, William Campbell. Chaz Campbell, 1997, Dobbs Ferry, New York. He worked for the city as a sanitation worker. He drove a Corvette, a classic Corvette. After work, he parks his car in a pizza lot, deli's parking lot, which is for their customers only. He runs across the street to go get something. And as he comes back to his car, the father, who's the owner of the deli, his son, who's an NYC off-duty NYPD, which is New York City Police Department, off-duty police officer, decides that they're gonna attack him with a baseball bat. But Chaz was 6'2", in great shape. Just a wonderful physique. Knew the brother. I'm telling you from fact. Wonderful physique. And he took the bat from him, and he began to do work. So now the punk white boys, you know, pardon my language, but these white boys decide that they can't take it anymore. He's getting the best of them. It was 2-1. They had the baseball bat. It was okay. Now he's got the baseball bat, and he's putting in work. The white off-duty police officer decided to kill Chaz right there. She murdered him. Now, good thing about this case, the officer did get sentenced to jail. He's been in jail for 15 years. Now he's trying to appeal, saying that what should he have done with somebody about to hit his father in the head with a baseball bat. And what I say to this cracker is, what should he have done when the young man parked in his family's parking lot? He's a police officer. They could have had his car towed. They could have gotten a ticket. They could have just said, listen. And they might have found out that Chaz's plan was to go across the street, pick up something. He was coming in to buy some food or sandwiches for him and his son and daughter. You know, but no, they didn't find out. They attacked him. And when they were losing, they decided to kill him. And then, of course, I'm going to end this conversation right here with this case, which everybody's probably, Mr. Chamberlain, senior. Oh, my God. Kenneth Chamberlain Sr., White Plains, 68 years old. he makes a phone call to the police department, and, I don't know exactly how it happened. I think the police got called for some reason. People were worried about him. They knocked on his door. He said, he's fine. I don't need your assistance. This is a man who survived the Vietnam War, a Vietnam War veteran. told him he was okay. The police, in turn, called him a nigger, all kind of racial slurs, hit him with that, and then they decided to break into his house, and they killed him. Now, if you're white, that happened to your family, what would you be doing? They want to come at us because we're black people and say that we're wrong. Oh, you're too sensitive. Slavery's over. Don't forget about it. This is recent history. This is happening every day in our community. So the question I propose to everybody who's calling in is this. Justice or separation? Minister Farrakhan asked us last year, Savior's Day. He said, it's time to separate. Give us 8 states to ourselves. Give us the states in the deltas. Give us the states where there's no rain. Let us have it, and let us stay amongst ourselves. You know, what people don't know is we want freedom, justice, and equality for all people, regardless of race, creed, or color. However, it is evident to anybody with a morsel of intelligence can see that the white man don't want to be with us. They kill us. They let their people off. They give them, you know, they give them free passes. Murdering a young black man or a young black woman is okay. And just so you can see what I'm saying, look at Casey, the white girl who allegedly killed her daughter and buried her in the woods, and now George Zimmerman, Florida. Both of them got off. Well, now, and I'm going to bring one of the callers in now. Hold on 1 second. 917-728, you're on the air with Unlawful Captives. What's going on? Hello? Hello? 917-728. I don't want to say your whole number over the air. First 2 numbers of your last number, 4 numbers are 6-1. You're on the air. Take your phone off mute. You want to say something? Are you there? Okay, I guess they pushed 1 by accident. Maybe they got nervous. Like I said, they got off. However, just a couple of months ago, sister who has a restraining order against her estranged husband, she's a licensed gun owner. Her estranged husband violates the restraining order, comes at her, she pulls out her gun and fires a warning shot to keep to back him off. She didn't kill him, she fired a warning shot. She got sentenced to 20 years in Florida. Now, what is the white America telling us? Are we listening? These are the questions that I want y'all to chime in on. Please press 1, dial in 323-927-2913, 323-927-2913. Hit the number 1, say what you got to say. Let's get this on and popping. But I want to know. I'm sitting here in Harlem. I got a 20-year-old daughter who's in college. She's going into her junior year. I have a 17-year-old son going into his senior year at Brooklyn Tech. I have a 12-year-old daughter. She goes to Columbia Secondary School. Brilliant children. Love them dearly. I just couldn't fathom if something happened to them. I don't know what I would do if somebody just arbitrarily decided to murder one of my children and they were innocent. I'm just saying. I don't know what I would do. What should be done? What should we be doing right now with these murderous people who are just having a good time? I see my sister, Queen Aisha's on the phone. The Queen of Black, the High Priest of the Black Hole Radio. What's up, Queen? How you doing?
I'm well. How are you? I'm as well as to be expected. You know, feeling you know similarly to other people, but I, you know, don't want to sound contrite or, unsympathetic or unempathetic because I'm a very empathetic person, but I detached myself from the goings-on of this trial a long time ago because I saw where it was going. You know, I just would like to give a moment to, you know, acknowledge the spirit of Trayvon Martin and all of the people who have lost their lives innocently that were unarmed and murdered by people who were sworn to protect them. Just for being black and at the wrong place at the wrong time, I'd like to acknowledge all those beings because they are now ancestors and, really be circumspect in my comments about, you know, why I detached from this trial. I saw where it was going. I saw a strategic, a very, very strategic outplay of this trial, and this trial was used as a mechanism and as a tool to, you know, reiterate the message that certain members of the establishment want Black people to know, and that is your life is worthless. We have power and control over your very lives, and you are not protected by the law, and that Black people have no rights that white people are bound to respect. You know, and it was interesting being on Facebook today and looking at my stream, and not one of my white friends commented or said, you know, in solidarity with my African-American brothers and sisters, you know, I'm really sorrowful about what happened. Nothing, you know, just regular posts. So we live, we exist in two worlds, but it's time for us to wake up. Black people in this country have to wake up and realize that we are not protected. We walk around as if we are, that we are not protected, and learn to think and move strategically in this, as long as we're in this country. Because it's just a different world for us, and we have to, you know, you might not want to expose your kids to the fact that police brutality is a reality, but yes, you do need to have that conversation with your children about how to handle a situation if they come in contact with the police and how to conduct themselves. This is a reality, and many of us are asleep and are not paying attention to what's happening. And I knew that this trial was going to be used to send a very strong message to the Black community that your lives are not worth anything for us. You could see it, how they assassinated Trayvon Martin's character from the beginning, and pretty much didn't do anything with George Zimmerman. They threw him in jail for lying, for perjury, him and his wife in jail for not disclosing how much money they had, but he never spent a day in jail for murdering Trayvon Martin. So the message was already there. It was clear from the beginning.
Well, sister, I'm gonna say a couple of things. One, you use the word white friend, and they're not responding to you. And again,
no,
what
they
is
didn't
white
respond.
American?
Period.
Right, I'm talking about they didn't respond. Period. But I'm saying they know that you're a sister. They know where you're from. They know what your history is. They know who, what your family lineage is. But yet they didn't have enough decency to say, you know what, this is not a good thing. Like you said, just say that solidarity with the spirit of Trayvon Martin, may God rest his soul. But this is what I'm trying to ask Black America, or the Black people together. Do we really have any white friends? Can we put that word white and friends
no,
together?
No, we don't. We don't, and I said that, and I knew that was going to be controversial. I'd like to quote Neely Fuller Jr., who is the mentor to Dr. Kress Welsing. Dr. Kress Welsing is the author of the ISIS Papers. And Neely Fuller Jr. says, if you do not understand racism, white supremacy, everything else that you think you understand will only confuse you. And I think that is the crux of the matter. We don't understand white supremacy, how it works. And when I say friends, I should have used quotation marks, because in a culture that exists and that plays out like this, you really don't have any white friends. And because if what happened to Trayvon Martin did not outrage all Americans, and people weren't willing to say anything about it, it shows you that we live in two different realities. But again, my assessment of this situation is that it is a wake-up call to our people to begin to think strategically, to educate ourselves, to educate our children in as much as we can. We've been trying for many years. We thought we could change the nature and the foundation of this country by marching and participating. We've been shown that is, you know, that all of that has been reversed. In my lifetime, right, all of the things that my uncle fought for and marched with Martin Luther King for and stood with Malcolm X for, all of it has been reversed. And so we have to figure out another plan. And And I believe that the issue is internal. It really is going to take us to do some deep internal work in terms of what is happening in our communities, not to change the subject, but a friend of mine, 60-something-year-old mother, was jumped by a group of girls on the bus as she got off the bus because she said something to them. Another older woman on the bus said something to those young girls because they were acting out and they were being disrespectful. And the older woman said, the elderly woman said, "Would you please show some respect?" And they cursed her out. When she got off the bus, they followed her. And my friend's mother went to follow the elderly woman to protect her, and the young girls jumped her and beat her up so badly that she blacked out. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is we're in crisis as a people, and you cannot look to people who never had your best interests at heart and to educate your children, to give your children a sense of self, a sense of love, self-love, self-respect. Go ahead.
Aisha, maybe you missed my opening statement about black-on-black crime and white-on-white crime. White-on-white crime is at the same percentage or a little bit higher than black-on-black crime. It's just
Yeah,
not
but it doesn't impact them the same.
No. Listen to me. It impacts them the same. Mm-hmm. They keep it a secret. You know, they have the same problems. They have white people pretending to be police officers and UPS deliverymen and Federal Specific, and they go into white people's homes, Long Island and all over, rob them, tie them up, shoot them, rape them. You saw what happened with the doctor in Connecticut, where the white people kidnapped his family and beat him half to death, thought he was dead. They had his wife at the bank. They raped his daughters. I'm not excusing. We have work to do in our community. We really do.
Right.
We have a lot of work to do in our community. Our community, we cannot continue to kill ourselves and fight our open enemy at the same time. We got a two-front war going on, and if black people don't wake up, we're gonna be self-destructive, which I agree with you. But right now, tonight is about injustice from this so-called greater society that controls the law, controls the rampant police department, the rabid police department. They run around like a pack of wild dogs. Therefore, now, white citizens, we're reversing back to Jim Crow time when the KKK could ride up in any black home, drag somebody out of the house like they did Malcolm X's father, like they did Malcolm X's mother, like they did in the past. We going back to it now. Now, Trayvon Martin, 17 years old, walking down the street in his neighborhood, his father owns his house. You know, he gets the neighborhood watch creep who was really had an Aryan Nation type haircut. He put on some weight, made himself look a little dumpy, and let his hair grow out so he can come to court and look like he was a victim, you know. But what I'm saying, sister, to you is that I want to go back to the trial real quick, you know. When I saw the trial, and I didn't see every moment, which I would admit I didn't. I have things to do. But what I saw was this. For me, just the fact that the police – the police 911 operator told him not to follow the young man.
That's not an argument.
Okay,
the case should have never gone to trial based on all those facts. Never.
Why should it go to trial? You got to get a trial. You get a trial. I mean, if they catch you with a gun,
he should have been charged.
You still had to have a trial, Aisha. That's a justice system. The whole thing is they tried not to even charge him. It wasn't until the Trayvon's mother and father hired their own counsel who went on a campaign, a public opinion, that they got an indictment. So no, you get a trial. No, I'm not saying I'm gonna play fair. Even though they don't play fair, we're gonna play fair. Everybody gets a trial.
Okay.
Now we do know this. 99.9% of the time, if Trayvon Martin was white and George Zimmerman was George Jefferson, by the time when the police got there, the story would have been that George Jefferson committed suicide after killing Trayvon Martin, because the police would have killed him and it would say it was suicide, and that would have been the end of it. Because if you notice, everybody who the police deal with either committed suicide, they had a gun, But, you know, when they showed up and it was a dead black man and a white boy, you know, even though he's his mother's Latino and his father's Jewish, you know, but he's claiming his father, so he's a white boy cut, you know. And this is the point I'm talking about. In the trial, I didn't see any evidence that pointed other than the fact that he was pursuing this man, following this this brother who's an American citizen, born in America.
Young man. Mm-hmm.
Young man. But, I mean, he's still 17 years old, young man. And he followed him. What gives white people the righteous indignation that they can follow us around and then have guns on their, and on their persons and say that we're criminals and shoot us? And then it's okay because the white police and the white DA of Sanford was going to let them go. They said they didn't have enough evidence. But I thought there was enough evidence because anybody who's pursuing somebody and then use the word, that nigga is doing something, and niggas always get away with something. He got his hood. I mean, the word, the verbiage he used was not present, you know, and not one of a so-called neighborhood watch guy. He was a neighborhood Ku Klux Klan guy who was just out on the prowl that night, and he found himself where he thought was going to be an easy victim. Trayvon Martin probably definitely snuffed him. Definitely. I hope he did. I hope Trayvon Martin. But, you know.
Well, you might want to bring in another caller because all of the stuff that you said, I agree with. I'm talking about moving forward. What do we do in terms of what is the call for black people?
Everybody's listening right now.
The issue of the trial is, I mean, you know, we're on the same page with that. I have the same exact feelings. Only in America can.
You said you saw the setup. I didn't see. I don't know what was the setup. What would make six women not see that George Zimmerman was a stalking maniac with a gun out to kill somebody, and he picked Trayvon Martin to kill
him? I don't know. You tell me.
I'm just saying.
You tell me. That's very mysterious to me how anybody on that.
Go ahead.
No, how any woman on that who was a member of that jury who gave birth to a child could sit down and listen to what happened and acquit unanimously?
Right. Hold on. We got another caller coming. We got another caller.
Please.
646.
I mean, we're not arguing. I'm in agreement.
No, we're not.
I'm just saying.
I said, you my sister. We can't have this debate. 7-3-7. You on the air with Unlawful Captives. You have a question or a comment?
Yes. Some late, Brother Farms.
Believe it's Islam, sir. Who am I speaking to, black man?
This is Brother Richard, brother.
Oh, Brother Richard. The mighty Brother Richard. Shit out of Brooklyn, Brownsville. Never ran, never will. What's going on, black man? What you bringing to the forum tonight?
Well, brother, you know, I'm sitting here listening, you know, to you, and you made us, you asked the question, what would make them, you know, six women think that they can, you know, that they can justify it. You know, I've been sitting here reading different comments from white America, and, you know, basically all the comments that I'm reading, referring back to the OJ trial. You know, and they feel that this is some type of vindication for what happened with O.J., you know. But I just want to remind everybody that while O.J. was amongst them, you know, for all the years he was amongst them, it was all well and good. We never claimed O.J., but Trayvon was one of ours, you know. And being that he was one of ours, we feel the pain, and it runs deep. You know, and you know, I'm very saddened for the family, because here you have a young man who basically have not done anything. You know, and like you said, the 911 caller told Mr. Zimmerman to not follow him. For him to take the action to go after him anyway, that's premeditated. So everything that every step that he took from that point forward, it was a well thought out plan, you know.
Brother
and,
Richard,
you know,
Brother Richard,
mean,
you just hit the nail on the head, brother. I forgot about that.
You know
what happened? That was premeditated.
Yes. So how they not saw that, and how they missed it because they don't want to see, brother. So we have to now take the initiative to educate and teach our own. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has warned us for years that this is going to happen. Either we're going to take this as a wake-up call, or we're going to continue to suffer the consequences. We can't look at it no other way. We can't expect
Brother Richard, Brother Richard, Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I'm gonna bring another caller in on this conversation. 917-728. You back? 917-728. You back? You on live with
Hello?
Off the Cap. Hello?
Hello? Yeah. Hey, how's it going? I'm Jahar Richards.
And I was Jahar, like, what's up, my brother?
Yeah. What's up, man? I was listening to the whole thing and the whole conversation is intense, man. Like, I understand what y'all saying. All I want to really say, I hear like these stories about
Jahar,
you know.
Jahar, before you go any further, please tell the listening audience how old you are and where you from and
I'm 20 years old. I'm from Manhattan. Anything else y'all would like to know?
That's a vast area of Manhattan, but that's 7 miles by 3 miles.
Okay. I'm from Harlem, 127 St. Nicholas Terrace.
So what's your point, brother? Go ahead and make your point. I just wanted people to know that we had a young brother
All I'm saying is, I hear all these stories about Trayvon Martin, Amadou Diablo. There's a lot of stories, but all I'm saying to all us black people or us to stay together, things have to be fixed within before without. You see what I'm saying? A lot of things has happened all through America, and I think that we always fought in everybody except for the person that's really at fault, which is us. If we take more initiative in ourselves or what we're doing wrong, which is not, you know, standing up for ourselves, More things that happen in the world will alter. You know, since we're not, we're always going to have problems. We're always going to have delays. It don't matter if you're black, Nicaraguan, Nigerian, barbarian. Things happen. Things happen all throughout the world, and we tend to place blame on everybody but the people that it's happening to, which is us. We have to look in the mirror.
Jahar, let me ask you a question, Jahar. I mean, because I'm going to bring another call on in a second. Because Brother Richard's here also. Brother Richard, you're still live, so you can chime in too. But you're 20 years old, I'm 52 years old. I want to give you a little historical perspective for a moment. Because, things happen all over the world. And I at the top of the show, I said we got house cleaning to do. We got work to do. We killing ourselves. Since Trayvon Martin was murdered 513 days ago, there's been 106 black people killed by other black people. So we got issues, no doubt. However,
of course,
we're the only people in America who were brought here against our will.
Of course we were.
500 years of chattel slavery, Jim Crow, institutionalized racism, all the things you can do to a community. Even now in the state of New York, when you graduate from a public school with your public school diploma, you only guarantee to get a sixth grade reading level. So you keep handicapping people. You keep putting pressure on them. You put the worst conditions on them. You give them the worst education. You put the worst food in their community. And then you say, look at the animals and what they do. Then you take whatever bad happens in the black community and you blow it up bigger 10 times than what it is, because the same nonsense happened in our community, it's also happened in their community. Because what we don't talk about, what they don't talk about on TV, they have a meth. That's the drug of choice in the Midwest. These meth addicts are like zombies. They don't care what they do, what they do.
Forrest.
Go ahead, brother.
Brother Forrest. If I may, brother, you know, I'm in agreement with all of that there. But I think that, you know, many of us is missing the issue. We have a lot of self cleaning to do. Yes, we have work to do in the black community. However, we're talking about a young man that was not doing anything wrong. He was minding his own business. He was gunned down by a racist cracker. There's no other way to put it. We could sit here and dance around the issue, but this brother was not doing anything. Again, if you study what they're saying, hold on for a minute. If you study what they're saying, this is to them. This is a vindication for what happened at the OJ trial. So they feel some sense of relief because
Brother, time out. Way before there was an OJ trial, way before you and I were born, they've been doing this to us, brother. They've been killing
our men and women,
brother. So it ain't got nothing about no revenge for OJ. This is business as usual.
No, I agree with you, brother.
F-O-P.
But I'm saying, brother,
that this is not revenge for OJ. This is business as usual.
Okay, but I'm saying, brother, everything that I have read from them today. That thing was, when O.J. got off, black people was happy. When O.J. did this, everything was fine. This is what they're saying, brother. You understand what I'm saying? And so as I read it, and then I hear our people say, well, we have our own problem. I understand all of that, but we act as though Brother Trayvon was doing something other than minding his own business. This young man was innocent. He did nothing, brother. For them to sit there and act as though Zimmerman was justified in what he's done, brother, as sure as the sun rises and sets, God will revenge, brother. And I pray that he give them everything that they deserve, brother, all the way from the 450 years that we have suffered here in America. There's no other way to put it, brother.
Right, Brother Richard, hold that thought, because you're on point, brother. I'm just saying, brother, for the listening audience, everybody, O.J. ain't got nothing to do with this. Now, this is what they've been doing. When O.J. was when he was in court, they was killing us and getting away with it. And they've been doing this since the beginning of our sojourn here in the hells of North America. 1 million,
yes,
over 100 million blacks died on the way here, brother. Don't forget who we're dealing with. I don't want to put this on this linchpin on just one murder trial between O.J. and then everything about
the Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They've been doing this forever. Hold on, brother. Hold on for a second,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Richard. Hold on. We got 816-517. I'm bringing you on live. Watch your background noise. 816-517. Welcome to Unlawful Captives. What's your statement? What's your comment? What's your question? Hello? 816-517.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Yes,
how are
you?
I'm good. My name is Marisha Banks. I am from Kansas City, Missouri, now residing in Lexington, Missouri. I am a community activist. I've been listening to the conversation and just would like to, my opinion on a whole event, as I watched it yesterday, it was breathtaking. And at the same time that it was breathtaking, I knew that this was a time to embrace what has happened in a way to where now we're able to dialogue, because now America is coming to a head when it comes to all the injustice of America, racism, profiling, I mean, the whole nine yards. So now it's time for America and people to now dialogue from all races about this. This is cool that we're able to talk about this and get this off our chest. But then at the same time, what is next? I found out just recently that the KKK are in my area. And I am in an area where the Civil War actually took place for the slaves. Plantations are still here. Racism is still strong here. and they called with a threatening message. They left things. So things are trying to get back to the way they are. This is heavy. And at the same time, what has happened with this trial. So I'm seeing all of these things happening. And my suggestion is that we need to come together, not as just black people, but people that are in common mind of the fact that America needs to change. That's the only way, because if we keep putting the race card out, we're not going to get anywhere. But until people understand us, how to respect us, that's going to be another issue. But then at the same time, we have to learn how to respect ourselves in the black race also. And then, you know, people are like, oh, Marissa, you're so militant, this and that and the other. You always talk black this, black that. Well, I said to him, well, our family is messed up. Our family is messed up, and we need to come together. How the heck are we going to be able to unify with anybody else if our culture is messed up? Okay, let's just say that the rest of America and the races were together and they were unified, and we're still over here acting a fool. We would be a laughing stock, you know. And so when will it stop to the where, you know, we have some things to work on at home, and at home is meaning that our home, at home in our black
well,
home,
you know what,
being in our black community.
I agree with your sister, right. But I want to say this. And the biggest room in everybody's house is a room for improvement. I'm going to give you an example. Me and my brothers, we used to fight, you know, in the house. You know, we have our arguments.
Right.
We throw blows at each other. However, you step outside my door, you touch my brother, you got issues. We got problems.
Right.
Exactly.
You understand?
Exactly.
So the whole thing is this. My mentality is this: we do have work to do. I'm not trying to. I'm not playing the race card. I'm saying.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm saying that white people are sending us a straight message: get out of Dodge.
Hey, you know what? I'm getting a message. I'm with you.
You're not going to get justice in America. So stop asking
for it.
Being here, we haven't received justice from them. So why are we? I'm not shocked that Zimmerman got off. I'm upset he got off. I'm not shocked, because it's the same old business as usual. I'm not playing the race card. I'm asking black and Latino people, check it out. Listen to Mr.
Farrakhan. Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. Mr. Farrakhan said, let's separate, because you know what? We've been here over 500 years. We've given blood
to
America. The reason why America is powerful it is because the greatest army is the black army, and I can prove it scientifically that every war that we fought in, once they put us together as a unit, they won that war. So our free labor for 500 years zoomed them up to the point where they were a superpower because they didn't have to pay for labor. So now
we gave
America all we can give. We've given blood, sweat, tears, they raped us. They've done everything they can to us, and then we come back asking for justice, and then we don't get it. It's time to get out of Dodge. It may be time to enter this part of the land, because I'm saying to you, I'm saying to the world, I'm a soldier in the Nation of Islam. However, anybody, red, black, green, from Mars, from Venus, from Timbuktu, I don't care. You touch one of my children, it's not going to be a trial. It's going to be what they do to us. They're the judge and executed on the scene when it comes to us. I read over 25 cases that have happened over a span of 10 years. One of them was about 15 years old. But over the span of 10 years, and most of it just recent history, where they have murdered us. We had our hands on our head. We were on our knees. We were submitting. We were giving them they just do. We were obeying the law, and they still killed us.
Brother Forrest, when you spoke about, you know, being in the house with your brother, you know, one of the things my mom used to say is that, you know, when you out in the street and y'all and someone touch your brother, y'all both fight against that person, and then when you come in the house, you can tell him where he was wrong at once you come in the house.
We can deal with our issues amongst ourselves, but to hear them amongst white folks, man, white folks don't, they already proved to us that they don't give a damn about us, man. You know, and
Chuck,
for us to
Chuck.
Sit here and act, hold on for a minute, for us to sit here and act as though we're surprised, Sun Tzu says a general can be, he can be forgiven for being defeated, but he can never be forgiven for being surprised. You know,
right.
This is what our problem is. We take them as if they're our friends, when they have proven to us ever since we've been here that they are an enemy to us. And so we sit there and understand it. I'm sitting here reading on the social media where they're saying, go back. If you don't like it, get out. Get out. Go where you want to go at. Why?
Yeah, they were shooting down here.
We're entitled to this land. Just as much as they are. Our blood, sweat, and tears is in the soil of America. Yes, sir, brother.
Hey, can I share with you guys this real quick? I wanted to share with this. It's going to be a report on this real soon, and we're going to do a historical dialogue down here in Lexington with the KKK. They had called me back after making a threatening message, and he called me back and they apologized, and I have the whole conversation recorded. I wish I could just somehow play it, but I don't understand my smartphone right now. But in the conversation, he said when I first answered the phone, he said, I am impressed with your message. I said, okay, how you doing, sir? And nice to meet you. Very pleasant man. We dialogued. I told him, I said, I am a woman of God. I'm a woman of peace. And what has happened today is not tolerated. I said, you cannot continue in your old ways. I said, those ways are wrong. I said, if you are reading the same Bible that I'm reading, your Bible says that, and my Bible says that we are to love. I said, okay, you have your white power. We have our black power. There's Chinese power. There's all kind of powers on this earth. I said, but it's all about respect. And they said, at the end of the day, you don't have to like me, but I have to love you. And at the end of the day, I have to be judged. My maker is your maker. And I'm going to be judged on this situation. So if you want to continue in your mess, you just go ahead. You know, and so it was a long conversation, but to say that I asked him, I said, now, are you open up to dialogue? I said, now, if you want some type of media coverage or want to be seen, we can hook that up. But at the same time, are you open up to an open dialogue to talk about this hatred? Ma'am, we don't hate you. I said, well, sir, I said, because we didn't ask to be here. I said, I know you know we didn't ask to be here. Well, we were stolen from our land. I said, so how's this, what sense of this does this make? You know, and so he said, well, let me check with my imperial wizard or somebody, he said, and he'll give me a call back. I'm waiting on that call.
Sister, because if you reenact the whole call, we're going to be out of time. So look, I'm going to tell you this, sis. Where the brothers at in your hood? I mean, where your brothers at? I'm hearing
right,
you.
Right, let me tell you.
It
ain't none
at?
Down here. It's none down here.
All right, sister, we're going to give you your freedom papers. You can move from there. Come to New York. Brother Richard and me are here, and a few other brothers, hard-hitting, bad-swinging brothers, we got your back. But you don't have to state it.
Go ahead, brother. You know, I'm a make it plain for the whole world to hear me. Don't call me for marching because my shoes cost too much. I'm not with it. Don't call me unless y'all want to get down and get busy, man. Because
right,
personally,
right.
I'm tired, man. I'm ready to get it over
with. Yeah, you're ready to do something.
Hold on, brother.
Slow down, brother. I'm going to reiterate the ground rules I laid when we first started this show. We got to be careful, brother. Because you got to be careful, brother. Come on. Listen to me then. Brother Richard, hold on.
Okay,
hold on, Brother Richard. Brother Richard, listen for a moment. I'm going to let you finish your point. We cannot volunteer ourselves into jail. Remember that, brother.
Okay.
Come on.
Listen to this, brother.
We cannot say things that can come back
to
you in the court of law against us. So we're not going to kill anybody.
Yes, sir. I hear you, brother.
We don't bother anybody.
I hear you.
We ain't looking to bother anybody. If you touch us, then we deal with that. Other than that,
That's my point.
All right,
so sister say that they sat there and they came at her the way they came at her, bro.
Yes,
for them to say, but there's no talking to these people. The dialogue was already set when Jesus was sitting on Mount Sinai with them, brother. He said he knows them. You understand what I'm saying? These people are of the synagogue of Satan. They just plain devils. There's no way to put it, man. And we act as though, listen, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has pointed them out to us. He has taught us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us for years on this white man. If we have not seen it by now, then we either going to join on to our own or suffer the consequences. That's the bottom line. There's no dialoguing with these people. Trayvon Martin.
I want to bring something to the forum right now. Because your points are valid, brother. You know, I'm from the same cloth as you. However, where did the devil come from?
Who is the original man, brother? Come on. I mean, you ask the questions you already know, brother. This is not what I'm here for, brother. We on
an international airwave. You on Black Hole Radio. We broadcast in Africa, France, Australia. Brother, we gonna talk straight talk to each other. I'm gonna say this. I'm not letting them off the hook, and I'm not letting us off the hook. I'm definitely not letting them off the hook, but I'm not letting us off the hook either. This show was about, the question is, justice or separation? Do we hear the message? Do we understand the message that the white man is sending to us? And are we really listening? Some people not getting it. Hold on. Y'all got to hold for a second. We got a caller. He or she has been very patient. 540-940. You are on live with Unlawful Captains. Watch your background noise. You got a question or a comment?
Got a comment.
Go ahead, my brother.
Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Hey, this is Brother Tajuddin Shabazz.
Tajuddin Shabazz, brother, where you been hiding? I've been calling your phone. I got a new number. I see that now, brother. I didn't recognize it. This is my good brother, we always soldiers. This is a soldier from Trenton, New Jersey. This is my brother. I've been calling your number for months, man.
Peace.
You know, but go ahead, brother.
Hey, I soldiered under Brother Farce in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm in Virginia right now.
Hey,
I got a comment. Really, this is going out to all the armchair revolutionaries, the ones that's on Twitter, Facebook. This is what we need to do. Look, is anybody really surprised by the verdict? Is that what's causing all the problems? Because people are surprised at the verdict? The devil has always been the devil. So I'm not surprised. So all the people that's blacking out on Twitter, that's not doing nothing. What we need to do is, this is what we need to do, is boycott Florida. The hell with Disneyland, the oranges, and all of that. Do that for about 3 months to a year. That's where we hit the white man and hit him in his pocket.
There you go, brother. Hold on now.
Florida.
Let's not stop at Florida. Don't forget Arizona Iced Tea, Skittles, all these other companies that paid into George Zimmerman's system.
Right.
And then also,
we don't have no value on ourselves. That's why the white man don't give a damn about us. Because what about the 74 brothers and sisters?
So we gonna, I mean, brother, everybody's like, y'all cause all kind of controversy. Y'all was sitting while I'm sitting there, the switchboard is lighting up. We got to bring on the conversation. 561-420-561. Watch your background noise. You're live on the air with Unlawful Captives Black on Radio. You got a question or comment?
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Kareem to the family. I mean, Ramadan Morocco.
Peace.
Yeah, as the brother said, I've been saying that for a while is what we need to do really as a people. Start boycotting. Don't spend no money with nobody that's not amongst us and take back our communities. People are talking about the political system, but if you don't have an economic system to back up your political system, the politics is not going to work, because if you don't have the finance to finance and buy an election, you're still worthless. They'll still see us as worthless, just a bunch of Negroes just making noise.
Well, brother, I'm agreeing with you, brother. I mean, thank you for bringing that to the forum. I want to say this, family. I'm loving the conversation, Brother Richard, Brother Tasha Jean, sister from Kansas City. What's your name again, sis?
Marissa.
Sister Marissa, I can't forget that. Sister Marissa. Family, listen. Everybody who's listening on the airway, y'all scared of the word separation. Some of y'all are, not everybody. You're scared of the word.
Right.
You're scared to separate from your master. But I'm going to tell you, if you look in the annals of history of America, everything worth riding around with, doing anything in, it was created by a black man or black woman. We got all the intelligence, all the wherewithal in our community. What brother just said, we don't have the economics to back up our, what we're doing. So we got to stop shopping where there is nobody black. In other words, if it's not owned by somebody black or Latino, don't shop there. Or Asian. You know, we down with that. We stay within the people with melanin. If they ain't got melanin, don't. If they threaten for some white people, don't buy from them. Because if you remember the Civil Rights Movement, when they went into Reverend Shuttlesworth, but I think it was Alabama, that the whole thing that brought them to their knees was that the black people stopped shopping downtown. And the white businessmen went crazy because we have the largest economy within the black community in America than I think we're like number three in the world. That means we spend more money than other nations in our community. We spend money and we just keep furthering and fueling this machine that's against us. We got to step out of this machine and separate. Now, if you're not ready for physical separation, at least separate your money, you know. And those brothers and sisters who offer services and goods to the black community, bring some superior services and goods. Don't bring no weak stuff. Don't ask us to buy just because you're black. Bring quality to the community so we'll spend our money with you. Don't bring no 10-day-old bread trying to sell it. You know, bring fresh bread. Bring the best. We used to present the best sellers. See, I'm 52. I remember when it was segregated. I went to a segregated school in South Carolina. I remember when black women and men taught me, and they made sure that I learned because it was important to them because they had took pride in it. I remember that I could only go to a black grocery store or to this black doctor. I didn't have an option. See, we forgot this stuff. We got short term memory loss. We forget Eleanor Bumpers, you know, an elderly woman with a mental disability. The police took a battering ram, broke down her door, and shot her with a double barrel shotgun. We forget this stuff. We forgot Emmett Till. I mean, you see it on Facebook, you see it, but we really forgot how they beat this brother where he was unrecognizable. Who has a potential record, they wouldn't know who he was. Come on, are we forgetting who our open enemy is? It's time to separate. So I want to bring one more call into the fray. All you who are already talking, y'all still alive now. Watch the background noise. 917-728. I think this is Jahad back in. You back on, Jahad?
Yes, I'm back. I was just listening, and I feel like one thing that we forget is as humans, you know, say I'm not even going to put a title on us, which is black people, because we already know that. It's acceptance and allowance. You understand what I'm saying? We forget to accept things for what they are and who we are. I think that's the big problem we have. You understand? Like, us black people have been programmed to, you understand, to adapt to the life that we live in. And
What type of acceptance are you talking about, brother? You said we keep blaming
people when we're part of the people. Like, we keep blaming other people, but it's like,
brother John, let me ask you a question, brother. You're an educated young man. Let me ask you a question. If you can fathom living 700 years, if you've been alive for 700 years, however, for 699 of those years, you were oppressed and you were denied education, you were denied access, what would you be? You're talking about acceptance, brother, but we've always been accepting. We've forgiven slavery. We've forgiven being raped. We've forgiven being not allowed to go to school. We've forgiven all that stuff, and we come and we still give 1,000% into this society called America. It's our brothers and sisters who have died on the front line of the wars. I mean, what acceptance are you talking about?
I'm talking about acceptance.
What tolerance are you like?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Go ahead. We got to accept, or they got to accept. Who's got to accept? I'm trying to get to the...
how long are we going to play the victim, you know what I'm saying, opposed to being victorious,
Brother Richard, slow down, no offense to you, brother, but this show is Brother Farr's Brother Jason's show. Slow down, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
I'm talking to my brother. You come in, brother. Give me 1 minute with him. Just give me 60 seconds with him. You got it. Brother Jahad. You're going to tell me that you don't see young black men and women, Latino black men and women in New York City being stopped and frisked? You know that's
unconstitutional? I see white people as well. My brother,
only 750,000 black Latino youth got stopped in New York City last year.
Of course.
750,000. I didn't see 750,000 white people get stopped. I'm sorry. I didn't see no white people with their face in the snow. I didn't see white people with their brand new clothes on in the rain, putting their face on the pavement. I didn't see that, brother.
Okay.
So you see it? Jahad, you see it? I don't see it, man. I don't see it. I'm gonna tell you what I do see.
You know what I'm saying? When I come out of school, I see 50,000 black kids on the corner. Can't say I see 50,000 black people in jail. I see 50,000 black people on the news for robbing somebody, an old lady. You know, I see 50,000 black people, and I don't see as many rights. So it's like you can balance that out. Now I'm not saying that.
Brother, let me ask you a question. Take a ride to Bensonhurst. Take a ride to Suffolk County. You see number of white people hanging on the corner. You don't live in a white neighborhood. You live in a black neighborhood. You don't experience that. I just said at the top of the show, brother, that the percentage of white people who kill white people is the same as high than the percentage of black people killing black people. White people are killing each other, they just don't put it on the news. Come on, brother. Brother Richard, I got to bring Brother Richard in, because I told him 1 minute, I said 2 minutes. Brother Richard, come on in, black man. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, brother. No, sir, I'm here, brother. You know, I'm just trying to sit here and digest this what I'm hearing, brother, because, you know, I hear Jews constantly saying never again, and they talk about their suffering, and everybody else talk about their suffering, and it seems like whenever black people begin to talk about our suffering, we either got to be the victim, or we're playing the race card, or this, this, that, and the other. Brother, personally speaking, brother, I'm not feeling this. So what I'm gonna do, brother? I'm gonna refrain from the comments that I have, brother. I'm gonna leave it with this, though, brother. As it is done, so shall it be done. Trayvon Martin, we love you, man. Rest in peace, young brother. That's all I got to say,
brother. Brother Richard, don't go anywhere, Brother Richard, because what you just did, brother, was bring it right home. And let me explain to you. The reason I let Jahad go ahead so y'all can hear it. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to separate and educate ourselves. See, you brought up the Jews. The Jews don't go to school with us. They go to their own school, okay? And they educate their children to know their Holocaust. This young 20-year-old man don't even know his history. He thinks that we playing the race card and we playing the victim. When we lost 100 million people getting to America, we can't even tell you how many hundreds of millions we lost since we've been here. They couldn't break the original slaves, so they had to murder them after they mated them and got all the babies they could get out of them. They had to murder them so they wouldn't submit. This man don't know his history. Because why? We sent him to white schools, and he's been whitewashed. So this is why we don't understand what's going on. This is why we're not connecting with our youth, because we're not out there teaching and grabbing them like we're supposed to. But Brother Jihad, inshallah, by the grace of God, is going to be working for Black Hole Entertainment. And I got him. I got him 24/7. I'm on it. I know my job. Do we know our job now? Separate. Educate your children. They don't know their history. Sometimes my own daughter say some things that's cross-eyed, cross sideways. I'm like, whoa, slow down. Let me unprogram, deprogram you. My son say some things sideways. My youngest daughter say some things sideways. I got to deprogram them. But see, this is what happens. The Jews know the value of the teachers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They don't go to school with you. You show me that all you who went to school with somebody wearing a yarmulke, raise your right hand. Yeah, I thought so. Nobody can because you didn't go to school with them. So they know their history. You go to a Jewish youth, and they'll talk about the Holocaust and never again. You talk to a Black youth, why are we the victims? Why are we playing the race card? We gotta be more tolerant. Tolerant of what, man? How much killing and murdering and ass whoopers we going to take? What are we tolerant of? I'm tolerant. My grandmother was tolerant. My great-great-grandmother was tolerant. My great-grandfather was tolerant. Tolerance stops now. But I'm for uniting and connecting with the people who want to unite and connect with. Let's build our community. I'm not after nobody on the other side of the track. They stay on the other side of the track. I stay on my side of the track. I'm working with my people. But if you come on my side of the track, start some nonsense, then I'm not going to be one to turn the other cheek. I'll turn your cheek, but I'm not turning mine. So this is where we got to get to. So I'm not mad at Jihad. I know where we went wrong. We sent him to a white school to be whitewashed, and then now we understand. My brother Richard, myself, we don't understand because we like, yo, what happened? Where's the disconnect? Because, you know, what happened is this. We didn't take over the school system. In New York City in the 1960s, 1970s, and 2000s. Pardon me, brother? Who's talking there? Let me put somebody on mute because somebody just arbitrarily talking. But listen, brother, in Brownsville, where Brother Rich is from, Ocean Hills, Brownsville, they took over the school system. But they vilified those Black people. Those Black people were right on point. We didn't follow through. They wanted to educate themselves, to have control over their educational system, so this day would never come where a 20-year-old get on the phone and talking about, on the radio, talking about, why are we playing the race card? We're not playing the race card, my man. We're playing the truth card. The truth of the matter, the fact of the matter is we've been downtrodden, beat down. A 20-year-old can't even walk down the streets of New York and not feel at any time the police is going to stop him. He don't see nothing wrong with that because he sees some white people get stopped. I don't see nowhere near the amount of white people getting stopped as I see Black, especially Black male teenagers and Latino male teenagers. I don't see nowhere near that. They might have stopped some white people every now and then, so what? You know, I really don't care about how many white people they stop. I care about them unjustly trying to stop my 16-year-old son, who's an A student at Brooklyn Tech, and one day they might just decide that it's no longer for his time to be on Earth. You know, that'd be a bad day for them, but they don't know that yet. And I pray that I never see that day, because that's a dreadful day that Trayvon Martin's mother and father's got to deal with, you know. And that's why we're on the radio tonight. This we see the problem. Jihad is just a microcosm of what's going on in our hood. We're not in the streets like we're supposed to be, talking with our young people, educating them to what just happened yesterday. They don't even know what happened yesterday. Forget about 50 years ago, and 50 years ago ain't nothing. That's a blink in the eye. Forget about 1,000 years ago. They only have a clue about 1,000 years ago. But they only know what happened yesterday because we're not out there teaching them. We send our children to white schools to be educated by white people in a white system that we want to come back Black little. Do the math. Somebody help me out. Do the math. What is the possibility you get a Black militant out of that situation? The reason why in the 60s we were so militant because we went to separated schools and it was Black women and men teaching Black children Black pride and black self-esteem, so they felt like they deserved to be treated right. Now our children go to white schools, they hang out with white people, but, you know, they don't know their history. They think it's cool. You know, what's up, man? We all right? It's all good. They, you know, you got white boys doing hip-hop, and I saw this white young lady yesterday video. She's doing hip-hop, talking about she working up business and whatnot. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, they assimilate. Read the book, Destruction of Black Civilization. The white man is a master of assimilating. He comes into your house with like a thief in the night, with a smile on his face and a knife behind his back. Then he'll stab your brother and put the knife in your back pocket and send you to jail. Come on. Brother Richard, I know why you're upset, brother, but it's okay. It's all good. Because now
Forrest, I'm not upset. What it is that, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, and I see a young brother that in my eyes have done absolutely nothing, and we still appeasing white America. You understand what I'm saying? My position is very, very clear, bro. Those who know me, they know where I'm at with it. The enemy, he knows where I'm at with it. So I'm not angry. I'm not upset at all, brother. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just tired, man.
Well, brother, you might not be angry, but I'm a little upset, brother. I mean, I'm upset, but I understand what it is. And you know, what 90% of the problem is knowing how to fix it. If you know how to fix it, you don't get upset about it. So we know how to fix it, Brother Richard. We know tomorrow,
yes,
therefore, I'll be in the street. I'm New York,
yes, sir.
Hands talking to people, me talking to the
youth. Yes, sir.
We know we're going to be out there selling the final call. We know, but we need the whole black community, whether you Christian, Jew, Gentile, whatever you claim. So if you got melanin, you need to come into your community. Let's close. You want to know why the youth are killing each other? Because they ain't got no direction, no guidance. Nobody's trying to say, come on, let me give you a hand up, man. Let me show you, well, brother, this is a different way to do that. I did that before. You don't want to go there. You know, we got black flight. You know, as soon as we get a little education, a little bit of substance, we out. We run from the projects. We run from the hood we grew up in, and we want to go live next to white people. Come on, let's talk the truth. But then when they do these things like this with the George Zimmerman, you see, you know why they were mad at O.J.? It wasn't the fact that O.J. got off. Rudolph, the white dude who murdered his wife, he got off. He got off because he had money. O.J. got off because he had money. See, you can hire Johnny Cochran, F. Lee Belly, and whoever else he had on the Dream Team. That Dream Team cost
exactly
about $10 million. You know,
exactly.
Justice is not blind. Justice has got a price tag on it. Because you don't believe,
yes, sir.
Look at the past history just in New York State. How many judges got busted for taking bribes? One man had about $500,000 in his waist pocket when the police caught him. Come on, Justin, what about the dude just in Pennsylvania sending youth to jail wholesale? He made $2 million off that transaction. Come on, justice is failing.
Well, Forrest. Can I ask you quick? Let me just make a statement. You know what bothers me, brother?
We got 1 minute, brother. But go ahead. You got the last.
Okay. Yes. Real quick, brother. Plessico Burris, right? He shot,
yes,
himself,
sir,
and went to jail. Michael Vick had dogs fighting.
Mm-hmm.
He went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
This dude,
yeah,
killed an unarmed, innocent young black man and haven't,
mm-hmm,
spent the day in jail. I mean, what is it going to take for us to see our open enemy, man? This is all I'm saying,
no,
brother. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I'm with you, brother. I'm on the same bag.
You cannot make it no plainer than this. They have stated their position, and damn it, we're going to have to state ours, man. There's nothing here for us to do with them except for us to separate from them. There's no love for them, for us.
Right, but the brother who spoke earlier, Brother Richard, Brother Charles Eugene, everybody hit it on, those two brothers hit it on the hill, brother. Financially separate, brother. We got to huddle. We got to huddle up in the black community, and we got to handy up together. We got to pull all our dimes out of our pockets, out of the penny jars, put it together, pool our resources, keep the money in the black community, and keep the white people away from it. You know, that's all it's going to take. Listen, fam, I'm telling you, we got to continue this next week. We got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for calling in on behalf of Brother Jason and myself and the Black Hole Radio family. Thank y'all so much for participating tonight. We want to come back next week and continue this conversation because this is not enough to heal all the problems in the black community.
Right.
And Brother,
right,
Jihad and Sister Marissa, Brother Jihad, I'm hoping that you don't think we came down on you too hard. We're not upset with you, brother. We understand why you feel the way you do, and we respect the way you feel you do. We just got to do our job now. You just open up our eyes that we are slacking in our duties We are negligent in our responsibility, brothers and sisters. Again, from Black Hole Radio, from my family to your family, may Almighty God Allah bless you. All those who are celebrating Ramadan and practicing Ramadan and fasting, may Allah bless you with a successful fast and reading your Quran this over the next 23 days that are left in Ramadan. And don't forget to call into the Ramadan prayer line, Nation Islam. Hear the beautiful speakers. Hear the beautiful expression of love of God. And if you're not even Muslim, you should call in. Because, you know, we pray with our Christian brothers. We pray with anybody who believes in God. So y'all come on and join in, call into the prayer line. Again, this has been Black Hole Radio, Unlawful Captives. May God bless you all.
I remember when radio used to be just like this. You turn on the radio and you actually get something for your money worth, even though it's free. You had to pay for no satellite radio back then. You had good solid radio for your brain, something that make you think. I remember. Now that's like black hole radio, or Blog Talk Radio.